Hello and welcome to Hopscotch World.
I'm Bill.
I'm Jim.
Jim.
Bill.
I am dumbfounded.
Well, we went away last weekend, Kim and me. We went to Philadelphia to see the Mets and the Phillies, two very bad teams.
Yes.
Caught two games, and of course in Philly, what do? We have to pick up some of our favorite beer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the Poor Richard's Ale, the Ben Franklin original recipe. There's a little twist to this, and
the
we'll
Yards
get to
Brewery edition.
Yards Brewery.
As we have in our previous podcast, we, probably 2-3 years ago, took our second serving of the Poor Richard's Ale.
Right. We didn't.
A la Custom Brew Crafters.
We never thought we'd see that again.
No, we didn't. And we, boom, out of the blue, they decided to brew some up, and it was fabulous. As good as it was remembered from the first time we drank.
Which isn't always the case.
No, but it's enough to prove to me that it is that good of a beer.
It definitely is. Yeah. And so is this. Like I said, there's a little twist on this, and apparently this is the true recipe.
I wouldn't doubt that the other one was, you know,
slightly
modified.
Yeah. Right? We're melting, so let's get right to it.
Let's pour some beers, Jim.
All right.
Please do the honors.
All right, so we don't have the good growler. I forgot the good growler. So we got the twist-off game. Wow, nice full pour.
Comes with, yeah, that is the fullest growler I think I've ever seen.
A glass of foam for you?
There. Yeah. No, not really.
That's not too bad.
Topping off rather nicely. Yeah, so much like the other Poor Richard's Ale, it's a nice dark amber color.
Yeah.
This one's a little, I'm going to say it's a little lighter in color.
I think you're right.
Do I note a scent of citrus?
You're on the right track, but I wouldn't call it fruit.
No.
What does fruit grow on?
Trees. Oh. This is good. Oh, this is good. Oh, this is like the ultimate in amber beers. You can't beat this recipe. You can't beat this taste. I don't know why anybody would ever try to do any better than this.
I don't think it can be improved upon.
No. Ooh.
The molasses does give it a unique...
A unique sweetness.
Yeah. The fat ox is so close, but yet the molasses is just that much.
But it's smoother. Smoother than the fat. The fat ox has got a little hint of coffee to it or something.
More coffee-based, right.
And this is...
Not quite.
No. There's that slight touch of, don't forget this is a beer bitterness.
Yes.
But it's not really bitter at all.
No.
It's smooth, it's sweet, it's...
Almost a hint of chocolate.
I get,
like a whisper of it.
Like a bitter chocolate.
Right. Kim liked it. Kim said she could probably drink a whole glass of this, and she does not like beer.
But this is so light. Mm. It almost drinks like water. Too easy.
Yeah, you can get in trouble with this one.
Yeah.
Any idea what that tree-ness is?
That tree-ness?
Yeah.
I'm going to assume it's some sort of tree bark.
It's spruce.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess so. It's very different.
Yeah, I saw that on the website. You know, when I was trying to figure out how to get to this place.
Right.
You know, and what their hours were.
So does it give you, like, a description of the recipe and how he came about it, or...?
It gets into tasting notes, I'd call it.
Okay.
I don't recall it going into the full-on history of it, but it is attributed to Ben Franklin, of course.
Right.
It's part of their Beers of the Revolution line, which we've talked about.
I read up on that years ago.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, so I know there was like a Thomas Jefferson's beer and one other thing.
Right, that's some kind of a tavern ale. And in more than one establishment, when we stopped in for a drink or to have dinner, I would see that on the menu. I never did try that one. I was looking specifically for this one, and I had to go right to the brewery, which wasn't really terribly far out of the way, and we did it on the way out of town. So, you know, we just... Kim and I just split a little sample of it to make sure that it was the beer that I thought it was. Plus, I wanted to experience the spruce that I read about.
It says historical spiced ale on their website.
Yes.
Yes, that's nice.
Well, that's, I guess, exactly what he used was ground spruce. And this is freshly ground spruce from some local farm, you know, where they source the ingredient. And, of course, the brewing is done right there on site, just like Custom Brew Crafters. You know?
Right.
It's in a rather historic yet dilapidated industrial part of town north of the Ben Franklin Bridge. It's a nice place. Parking's a little challenging. And when we were there, we had to negotiate a lot of bikers.
Really?
Well, bicyclists.
Oh, bicycles. Like,
yeah, there was some kind of bicycle.
Like Freddie Mercury.
Something like that, yeah. Some kind of bicycle marathon. I don't know. What do they do? Race? I don't know.
They ride bikes.
Yeah.
And while you were away, we played our final baseball game of the season.
You did, and congratulations. You won the last game.
We won our last game, which, of course, was our loser's game.
It was the consolation.
Game in our playoffs. Yeah. And it was a fun game.
Well, they usually are.
It was a fun game. It was fun to have the guys in the league enjoying themselves while we played. And the game was a competitive game.
What was the final score?
It was 10-6 or 10-7 was the final score.
Okay.
But that was with us putting up two runs in the, I think, 7th, 8th, and another run in the 9th to get to the 10.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a close game all the way through. We were down 4-0, then we clawed back to be 4-4.
Who did you play?
We played the Rochesters.
Oh, that's what I thought. Okay.
And Big Bob pitched.
Uh-huh.
It was fun having Bob out there.
He hasn't played that much this year.
No, he hasn't played much, and he doesn't run. He swings the bat, and he has a runner from the plate.
The few times I've seen him play, that's what he's done.
But there was a few off calls, we'll say. And one of them, I made a play at first, and I swear I had the ball first. But he was called safe, and I wasn't going to argue it. And the guys on the team were even asking me, Bill, didn't you have him? I'm like, it's not the second weekend in August, guys.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah, I typically don't argue.
No, I'm not going to argue. I mean, it was a close enough play that it didn't matter that much.
Right.
And, you know, at the time we were losing. So it didn't, I mean, it made a bit of a difference to the game, but, you know, it's never worth it. But we had so much fun, and I hit the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
I got a double.
Yeah, a freight train double?
I did. I came running up to first, and the ball skipped in front of me off into the neither world, and I ran over to second and called for a runner. Because, you know, lately I've been running to first and bringing somebody in because the knees just can only take so much of a pounding.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I ran all the way to second. And, of course, then they immediately asked me, are you sure you need a runner? And I'm like, yes, I'm sure I need a runner.
I just ran 180 feet.
I ran 180 feet, and were I a smoker, I'd be reaching for one right now.
Yeah, right.
But it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun playing. I finally got the picture of me and the boys for the year.
Oh, good.
Hopefully next year we get a few more guys coming in.
Mm-hmm. So I have to tell you, I have to go back to Philadelphia and tell you this fun story. And I have to tell you this because we're talking about baseball. And, you know, I'm a big Mets fan.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And really the only claim to glory the Mets have in my conscious lifetime is 86.
The 86 Mets, yes. Right?
And arguably the best first baseman of his generation was Keith Hernandez.
I'm Keith Hernandez. Yes.
So I'm walking around City Hall, and who's coming around from behind? Keith Hernandez with his wife walking their dog. But I felt like I shouldn't even ask. What I should have just said was, good morning, Mr. Hernandez, or hello, Keith. I should have just acknowledged him. I would have felt better.
Yeah.
But I didn't. So anyway, that was my brush with greatness.
So let's take a little bit of a historical trek, since you just did. You went to Boston.
Yes.
And then you went to Philly.
Right, so we're kind of doing the Revolutionary Trail here.
You're walking the Freedom Trail.
Yeah, right. And it's called the Freedom Trail, I believe, in Boston.
Yes, it's called
the Revolutionary Trail or something in Philly. I forgot what they called it in Philly.
So you went to the old parts of both cities.
Oh, yeah.
Compare the differences. Boston is so tight and still so old in the old section.
Yeah.
Philly's, to me, if I recall, is a little bit scattered, new and old, all kind of intermingled together.
Boston is too, to some extent, but...
Yeah, but it's like...
But the roads are horrible in old Boston.
Yes.
Actually, anywhere in Boston, they're not that
great. Yeah, but, I mean, there's literally parts of the old cobblestone roads in Boston.
Well, especially in the North End, right?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Paul Revere's house up by Mike's Pastries.
Yeah, that whole little...
Yeah.
Right.
Which is really cool.
Right.
It's like going back in time.
That's that area.
Yeah.
And that's like that. That's what was Boston at
Did you
the
notice
time.
All the Italian restaurants?
In
Paul Revere's neighborhood. Paul Revere must have eaten like a king. With all those Italian restaurants in his neighborhood.
You get the Mike's cannoli?
Oh, yeah. Get it? We came home with like a dozen of them.
And they're gone, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Philly is laid out much more sensibly. Actually, much like New York.
Oh, it's a grid.
It is. even in the old city. It's a grid. Now, they have some cobblestone streets.
Sure.
It's not as narrow, but it's more narrow than anything we see around here. The blocks here in Philadelphia are not like New York. They're like a quarter mile long in New York City.
Right.
Yeah, they're not. They're nowhere near that. So to walk like 10 blocks in Philadelphia, even through the newer part of Philadelphia to get to Old City, it's not that far.
Right. Well, and you've had a great weekends for it.
Oh, the weather was fabulous.
Yeah. Right? I mean, when I was in Boston, it was like 100 degrees.
Yeah, right. Well, we didn't have that when we were there. So in Boston, we had a great time. We went there to see Phantom of the Opera.
Uh-huh.
Right? I hadn't seen Phantom. I saw it on Broadway probably 15 years.
I saw it in Toronto. So
20 years ago.
Yeah, right.
So we get to Boston late on Friday. We get there, and Kim's daughter finds this taco bar. They have a 1930s Manhattan. It is the most amazing drink I've ever had. And I need to find this recipe, which I think I can hunt down online because they found it online. It was so good. I insisted after the play the next night we go back to the taco bar. We took the tour of Fenway.
Nice.
We also toured the USS Constitution.
Oh, you toured the Constitution.
Oh, yes.
I didn't tour the Constitution, but what we did do is, being that it is still a commissioned U.S. ship,
yeah,
we went and watched the flag raising in the morning.
We had a great time. Now, the USS New Jersey's anchored in Camden across the river from Philly.
Right.
I wish we had time to go to that. So if I ever make it back to Philly, that's on my list of things to do. So anyway, what a great weekend we had in Boston. And I
there's one more thing in Boston that you have failed to mention. A site of great historical significance.
Oh, how could I forget? We were just talking about one of the key ingredients in this libation.
Absolutely.
Should we tell the story again? In a nutshell.
The story of the great Boston Massacre. We've all heard the phrase molasses in January.
And
people were
goes,
killed by a wave of molasses rolling through the streets of Boston.
Happened just about 100 years ago. I think it was in the
early
1900s.
Teens. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And it was mid-January.
It was.
And back then, they didn't have as much sugar, and they used a lot of molasses, and they put it in these giant vats.
Kind of like, happened to be an unusually warm day.
Kind of like a water tower.
Right.
But yes, it was an unusually warm day, and this vat had a
structural defect.
Yeah. And the whole thing came apart, and a giant wave of molasses came rolling down the street, and I think it killed like, I was going to say like 7 people and 15 horses or something like that. It was. You can look online and you can see pictures of the actual site as they were cleaning it up. It was horrible.
21 people. A 40-foot wave of molasses.
40-foot wave of molasses rolling through the streets of Boston.
1919 it happened.
1919. So we're coming up on the 100-year anniversary there. But yes, that was the great Boston Massacre as we know it.
So you were in Boston just a few years ago.
And I could not find
it. It was hard to find.
But it was in that same area, right? It was right there.
It wasn't far from the pastry.
There's like baseball parks and stuff over there.
Yeah, it's right along the river, right along the harbor.
Right on the harbor, right.
Oh.
And so I knew I was in the right place, but I could not find that place.
It's on a low wall. Dude. That was a big find. Yeah, that was a big thing. That was something I wanted to
great historical significance, as I said.
So wonderful two weekends in a row on the road. The Mets game, they lost. It was a fairly close game, 7-4, 6-4, something like that. But they won in 11 innings on Saturday night. And we came home with a nice prize, and I couldn't wait to share this with you. So I know we're talking about how much whiskey we have backlogged, but
You got to take a break for Poor Richards.
Poor Richards. And if another version of Poor Richards were to pop up next week,
we take another break for another Poor Richards.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So we know we like it.
It's been a while since we've had the last one. I'm going to say that spruce is probably that hint of difference.
Yeah. And it's lighter. You're right. It is a lighter one.
It's a lighter, but it's still just as sweet and smooth, and it goes down so easy. Ben was absolutely right. Beer is proof that God loves us, and he wants us to be happy. All these many years after his death, Ben proves it again. Jim, as you have finished off our growler in much the rule-following way, I salute you and Ben, and to another fine baseball season.
Another season in the sun.
Exactly.
And I cannot wait until next year.
Jim, my cup runneth out.
Yeah, me too. So I guess it's time to wrap this up.
I think so.
All right, so here's the Ben. Here's the baseball, and another season in the sun, and
another Poor Richards ale.
Yeah, keep them coming.
Yeah.
So more whiskeys are on the way. We'll get to them next time. And in the meantime, I'm Jim.
I'm Bill.
Thank you for listening to Hopscotch World.